today. Christians are rejoicing, rehearsing the story of the resurrection of Jesus. It's one of the fundamental things in the story of Christianity. It's one of those things that we must embrace, we must believe, we must accept, because if not, then we miss the entire essence of what Christ came for and what God designed in His divine plan for humanity, for the salvation of our souls. This morning, by the Lord's help, we want to read the accounts in the Gospels of the resurrection and take a little time to do that. My burden this morning is a very simple burden. He's alive. Now that's a simple two little words. He's alive. But I hope today, and over these last few days as you've thought about and read the accounts of what has taken place for the salvation of man's souls, that when we think of today and we know that He's alive, that ought to rejoice your heart. It ought to cause us to have within us, welling up, springing up inside of us, the joy of knowing that there was one willing to pay a price for me. Yes, He had to die so I could live. But He lives so I can live. In the book of John, chapter 14, verse 19, He says these words, "Yet a little while and the world seeth Me no more, but ye see Me. Because I live, ye shall live also." And He was speaking to them concerning the time that He would be resurrected from that tomb. "Because I live, you will live also." I thank God that God has ordained in the divine mind a plan where you and I can have redemption, where we can be reborn, redeemed, bought back. Now, last Wednesday evening here in the congregation, we celebrated the Lord's Supper. We did the ordinance service with the washing of feet and the partaking of the bread and the juice, the emblems of Christ's body. Those things that He said for us to do as often as we do it in remembrance of Him. May I encourage you, when we have those services, be in attendance. It is a recognition and an honor paid to the Lord for what He did for us. We know that after the Lord, actually the chronology would have been on a Thursday night when the Lord did the Lord's Supper with His disciples and washed their feet. And that night, after they left, the Scripture says that they, after they had sung a hymn, they went out into the garden. Jesus prayed. He asked His disciples to pray with Him. They were weary. They couldn't comprehend and understand everything that was going on. They slept. He came back to them. He said, "What, could you not watch with Me 1 hour?" So He went and prayed again. They went to sleep again. The third time He came, found them asleep. He said, "Sleep on, take your rest. The Son of Man is betrayed." And He had prayed earnestly and prayed through the prayer, "Not My will, Father, but Thy will be done." So He yielded Himself completely to the will of God. And we know that that was the divine plan. But He had a flesh side that He was dealing with. Friday, the night of Thursday night and Friday, during the early morning hours, Jesus being betrayed by Judas, arrested, taken to the Sanhedrin before the council, them condemning him, sending him to Pilate, Pilate sent him to Herod, Herod sent him back to Pilate. He was scourged, he was beaten, he was condemned to death. He was, I think in the book of Mark, it speaks about him being put on the cross at the third hour, which would have been about 9 a.m. The Scripture tells us concerning that day that there was darkness from the sixth to the ninth hour, which would have been about noon to 3 o'clock. And it says, in about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me? And he yielded up the ghost. But he had to die so we could live. But today it's not just about his death. Today is about his resurrection. Friday afternoon, evening, they placed him in that tomb. He was in that tomb Friday night. He was in the tomb all day Saturday. But the Scripture says, and we'll begin reading in the book of Matthew, chapter 28, is where we'll pick up. Verse 1. Matthew 28, verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Now, I am not going to try to talk about any of the particulars of any of these verses. I just want to rehearse the story with you. Book of Mark, chapter 16, verse 1. And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and the mother, and Mary the mother of James and Salome, had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came into the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment. And they were affrighted. He saith unto them, be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter, that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Luke 24. Verse 1 beginning. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, They came into the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto him, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered to the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. Book of John, chapter 20. Matthew, Mark, and Luke each give one chapter to the resurrection and the events following. John gives two. A little bit more information, a little bit more detail. But John 20, verse 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth and the other disciple and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together. And the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and when he saw and believed, for as yet they knew not the Scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. So they saw the empty tomb. They saw the napkin. They saw the linen wraps laid there. Didn't know what to make of it. At this point, folks, naturally speaking, with human understanding and human senses, it would look as though someone had taken the body of Jesus. I saw him hang there. I saw him turn pale. I saw him take him down. I saw him wrap him in that linen cloth, put that napkin about his face and tie in his mouth. I saw him lay him in the tomb. Now I come back, and he's not here. Now the angels are saying to me that you seek the living among the dead. He's not here. He's risen as he said to you. And they tried to embrace that. They tried to understand it. They tried to incorporate that in their minds. John, Peter, couldn't quite comprehend everything that had taken place. Yes, naturally speaking, looking at all of the outward circumstances, it would look as though someone had just taken the body of the Lord. Verse 11, Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down, looked into the sepulcher, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head, the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they've taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. You see, folks, at this point, the interest was, I want to come and anoint the body of one that meant so much to me. While he was alive, he loved me so much. While he was here, he did so much for me. While he was here, he spoke such kind words. He spoke such words of gravity. He spoke words of hope and of life while he was here. And while he was here and I got to spend time with him, I realized that this was a man different than any other man. And I've come to honor him and to pay respect to him. I've come to anoint his body. And now I look in here and his body is gone. And I don't know where they've taken him. And I wanted so desperately to come here and pay my respects to him. And she said, I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, verse 14, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if you've borne him away, tell me where you've laid him. I'll take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. He's alive. If there's two words I want you to take away from this service today, I want you to take away, He's alive. We serve a risen Lord that is not diminished in any way, in any power that He ever had, but rather because He was willing to fulfill all. And He was limited in human form by the space and time of geography and His humanity. No longer is it that way. He can be there for you wherever your circumstances and whatever your circumstances are. And He can be there for me at the same time. You may be on the West Coast. I may be on the East Coast. He can be with you. He can be with me. We can be so far away from one another physically, geographically, but not limited by God, because He has the ability to reach across and span the miles, folks. By His Holy Spirit, by the divine presence, the distance means nothing to Him. But she said to him, she said to her, Mary, she turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that He had spoken these things unto her. Now it took a little time for some of the other events to take place, for the Lord to show Himself to the disciples. And they began that one by one to see the Lord and to realize that it is true. He's alive. It is true. They didn't steal His body. It's true He was resurrected from that tomb. It's true. What He said to us was true. The only one that had more difficulty was Thomas. And Thomas said, I just can't believe it. I just won't believe it. I will not accept it until I'm able to put my hand in His side and my fingers in His prints and His hands and His feet. And Jesus gave him that opportunity. He met up with him. And he said, he told Thomas, Thomas, reach your hand into my side. See the prints in my hands. What was Thomas's response? My Lord and my God. These are the things, folks, that our risen Savior has done for us. He is Lord and God, Lord and Savior. I want us to know today that He is alive for broken lives. He's alive for broken homes. You know He's alive. You know that if you will be open and honest and sincere in your heart and your mind, you, at very likely in your life, you have had a visitation from God and Jesus Christ. Whether or not you have acted upon that visitation, I can't say. But you know that He is real. You know that He lives. You know that He's alive because He will visit every soul. He will visit every heart. He will come to you in your deepest distress. He will come to you in the hour of darkness, when you feel like you are being overcome and overwhelmed by darkness. He will be there if you will let Him, because He's alive. He's not in that tomb. He came out of that tomb. And He is alive today to do the business of a God, to do the business of a Savior, to do the work of the divine mind, to do the things that can do to help humanity. He's alive for broken homes, broken families, broken hearts, broken spirits, broken trust. You name it, folks, the Lord's alive. He's alive to fix those things. And He wants to fix those things in your life. He wants to fix those things that are broken. And He's alive today to fix those very things. There's nothing too big or small to bring to Him. He came forth and He's alive to fix the problems of humanity. And I thank God, folks, from the day that we just read these four accounts in the four Gospels, a little overlapping in each one of them, some a little more, some a little less detail, but they enhance one another. And they tell us the story of women who went to the tomb seeking the Lord very, very early on the first day of the week. John says, while it was yet dark. The others say, at the rising of the sun, or early in the morning. Very early in the morning. It tells me the story that they went early to seek the Lord. And when they got there, He was already resurrected. Now, we don't know what time He resurrected. We have an indication of when He said, when He yielded up the ghost, about the ninth hour on the day of Friday. But very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, He came out of that tomb. Thank God He came out of that tomb. He came out of that tomb to help you and me. I want us to rehearse another little story. Remember in the book of Acts, chapter 12, Peter was in prison. Peter was, if I'm not mistaken, was very likely to be sentenced to death the very next day. He was in prison that night. He was asleep, about to be killed, but he was asleep, chained between two guards. Something happened. A being came into the prison. A being smote Peter and said, "Get up." Peter, not knowing what was going on, maybe thinking it was a dream, he got up. As he got up, the chains fell off of him. And his guards still laying there asleep. The being said, "Follow me." They walked out of that prison. They walked out of the city. They walked to the gate. The Scripture says the gate opened to them of its accord. It just opened. They walked out of there. And then it says that the being, the angel, left Peter. And there he is in the street. So he goes. He's still not sure what took place. What has happened. But he realizes, I'm free. So he goes to the place where he's familiar. He goes to a house and he begins knocking on the door. The people are inside. They're afraid. They're praying for Peter. Rhoda comes to the door. And she wants, I guess, to ask, "Who is it? Who's out there?" "It's Peter. It's me. It's Peter. Let me in. It's me. It's Peter." And she turns around and runs. While she's inside telling the others who it is, Peter's at the door. "Let me in, please, let me in." They open the door and they see Peter. You know why that occasion took place, folks? It happened because he's alive. It happened because the Lord wasn't finished with Peter. It happened because he had power. Jesus said, "All power is given to me in heaven and earth." He's alive today, folks, to unleash that power in our behalf. He's alive today to unleash that power for you. Whatever your need may be, He wants to unleash that power for your life. The help that you need. Do you need to be saved? He has power to save. Do you need to ask forgiveness? He has power to give you to ask forgiveness. Do you need to be reconciled? He has power to give us to be reconciled with God, with our fellow man. Do you need peace inside in dealing with the turmoil of this life? He has peace to give. He said in His Word, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Take away these two words today. He's alive. And because He's alive, we have hope. Amen. I appreciate your time and attention this morning. God bless each one. It's my prayer. You pray for me. Let's pray for one another. Amen.